right. All right, you ready for the last of our parables in our parable series? So here's what we're gonna do. When I was a kid growing up in kids' church, anybody here kids' church, your kids' age, you go to kids' church, raise your hand real high. Is that it? Okay. Okay, well, there was a song we sang all the time, and some of you may remember it, and it went like this. You remember, does anybody remember this? The wise man built his, you gotta sing with me. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. How come I'm only one doing this? The rains came down and the... I don't even remember the words. Rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came out, and the house on the rock stood firm, still stand firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Remember that part? The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Then the rains came down, and what happened to the house? Got washed away. So that's what we're talking about. I mean, how many of you knew that song before? You can raise your hand, even if you didn't sing with me. Okay, I know. We don't usually do that song anymore. I love that song because it had motions that made sense to me. So what was that about? Was Jesus like telling people how to build houses? I mean, Jesus was a builder. And it's funny to me, this stuff kind of comes up and down like through theology and history and whatever, but we've always known as a carpenter because the word translated in scripture is carpenter, but it might be more accurate to say builder because they didn't just use wood, they would have used like probably brick and block and he would have been a builder, but still, carpenter's good. I like carpenter's son, I like that. But was he just telling you how to build a house? I mean, it seems like common knowledge, right? I know we don't live by the ocean, but have any of you been to the ocean and stood in the sand as the waves are going in and out and just stood still? And what happens to the sand under your feet? It starts to wash away, right? And then it starts to get wobbly, and if you don't move, you will eventually, you know, kind of sink into the sand. I mean, it's an obvious thing. We know that a good foundation is crucial, and here in Missouri, we know how important good foundations are, and how many of you have ever had water problems in your foundation? I mean, you know you have to take care of that right away because those kind of things can not only ruin your investment in your house, it can ruin your house. I mean, your whole house can be destroyed because the foundation isn't right. We know that. And I remember just a few years ago, it seems like not that long ago, maybe it was 6-8 years ago, but we had a tornado that came through southern Grain Valley. You guys remember that? I remember I knew a guy whose house got moved off the foundation. I mean, he was renting the house, but still, it literally got slid off. Something was wrong with the way the house was built, and the foundation wasn't sure. We know that, right? But is that what Jesus was talking about? I mean, that song, it's a memorable song. I mean, the tune is in my mind. But Jesus wasn't talking, that's not what he was talking about. I want to caution you on something. It's very important. Don't get your theology from songs, especially kids' church songs. Remember Father Abraham? Remember that one? What was that about? I don't even know what the point of that song was. But there are a lot of those songs can lead us to the wrong conclusions. Christmas songs are like that. Have you noticed sometimes the Christmas songs aren't good theology? I mean, were there three wise men? We don't know. We three kings. Remember that? Why do they say three? There were three types of gifts. There may have been multiple gifts of gold. All we know is that there were gifts of gold. Okay, you know that part, frankincense and myrrh, but we don't know exactly how many of the wise men there were. They would have likely traveled in a caravan. There would have been way more than three, but we get a lot of times these ideas from song. How about the one about Jesus, the cattle are lowing, but no sound he makes? Remember all that? Do you know in the story, there are literally no animals mentioned at all? There may have been there. We don't know. How about the angels singing? Remember that part? Did you know that there's never one time in the Bible when an angel sings? They're singing in heaven. There are creatures singing in heaven, some type of celestial creature, but actual angels that come as messengers to humans never sing. It doesn't say that. It says, he said. Then it says, a heavenly host surrounded them, and they said, that's actually what's in scripture. So the only reason I say that is because it's easy to miss the whole point of this story. This is the shortest parable we're doing, and it's only a couple verses. I mean, it's 4 verses long. And if you don't read the Bible, you got to go with context. That's why I always say never read a Bible verse. A lot of times people are like, No, don't read a Bible verse. Read the context. Read where it fits in Scripture, and that will tell you way more about what it means. So let's actually read it and see what he says. Jesus says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Why couldn't they put that in the song? Wouldn't that have been awesome to teach kids from a young age, listen to the word and put it in action? Wouldn't that have been awesome to teach kids? And I didn't even try to make that into a song. But he says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise, the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Jesus had just given the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a three-chapter sermon in the book of Matthew. Let me just share with you some of the things Jesus was saying. Listen to my words and do them. Here's some of the words he was talking about. What it means to be a true disciple. The tree and its fruit had to match. The narrow gate to the kingdom. The golden rule, effective prayer. Don't judge hypocritically. Money and possessions, prayer and fasting. Giving to the needy, love for enemies, don't take revenge, making vows, divorce, adultery, anger, the law, salt and light, and then all the Beatitudes. That's what he was talking about in context. He said, don't just listen to these things, do them. Listening is good. You're here, that's good. You're listening, it's good. Hearing the truth is good, but doing what you heard is better. That makes sense though, right? We all know that intuitively. We know that. It's kind of like, believing in Jesus and everything he said, but then not submitting to his will. I know we talked about this a while ago because he keeps talking about the kingdom of God, and kingdom is actually a compound word. It's where the king has a dominion, kingdom. So you can know the king, but if you don't give him dominion over your life, you're not actually part of the kingdom. So if you just hear it and know it, you've only gone part way. It doesn't make sense. Jesus' brother James, who wrote the book of James, he knew Jesus. He grew up with Jesus. He saw Jesus. He didn't actually believe in Jesus until the resurrection. Then he was so convinced that one event changed his life to the effect that he became the leader of the church in Jerusalem and wrote the book of James. Listen to what he says. Likely he heard Jesus tell this story. And here's what he says. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God? Good for you. I'm adding my own inflection in here, just so you know. So you say you have faith, you believe that there's one God? Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember our father Abraham? There's that father Abraham. Was shown to be right by God, with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Adam believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So maybe you've heard this before. When your mama tells you to take out the trash, you heard her, right? How many wives think your husbands don't hear you anymore? Anybody? Did you know that actually, some of those hands went up really high. Okay, did you know that men start to lose that upper and lower range hearing? Did you know that? And it's really weird how a lot of times it's where the wife's voice is. That is scientific, actually. I was telling my students that where I teach high school that, and you know, on your phone, you can put different frequencies in, and they were testing it on some of the older teachers, and they came and told me later, yeah, we play this real high-pitched frequency, and all the students are going crazy, and the teacher can't hear it. Okay, that's not an excuse, man. I'm just saying. But how many times have your mom said, take out the trash? You heard her, you knew you were supposed to do it, but then you didn't do it. What happens? Your mom tells you to clean your room. She comes back later, like, didn't I tell you to clean your room? You're like, yeah. Why didn't you do it? Yeah, doing it is the thing. You know it, but it doesn't matter if you don't do it. Pastor Connor tells his kids, okay, we have someone new here today. Be nice, play with them, include them. You say, yes, okay, you know it, and then don't do it. What good is that? It's not good. I read something online, it made me laugh. In reference to this scripture, it said, it'd be like taking a bite, chewing it, and then not swallowing it. It's kind of gross, but at the same time, it makes a point. You have to do more than listen. You actually have to do it. You can say all day that you love people, but if you don't show it, what good is it? So Bob Goff, he's a great author. He says he wrote a book called Love Does. It actually does. My favorite verse, I don't know how many of you have one of these, but it's my favorite verse. It's 1 John 3:18. The simplest version of it says, love not only in word, but in action. Don't just say it, do it. Don't merely say you love someone, but show it. So what are some of the things as Christians we're supposed to do? You can talk in church to me out loud. What are we supposed to do? Forgive, love each other. Love Jesus, okay. What else are we supposed to do? Love your neighbor, serve one another. What else? Obey, trust and obey. Anything else? Tell others about Jesus. All right, so here's my challenge you today. You all know that's what you're supposed to do, so be a wise builder, do it. You ready to do it? Are you ready? Okay, stand up with me, please. Yeah, I'm serious. Wait, what? You know what? Yes, right now. Yes. I do want you to shut your eyes for a second. As I've been talking today, I know I mentioned a couple silly examples, but I'll bet you that the Holy Spirit has made clear to you some things you knew you should do, but you didn't do. There's been times where you knew you should love and you didn't love. And while we're thinking about love, what does love look like? How do you show that? A lot of times it is in service. A lot of times it is you giving somebody time when you don't have time. Sometimes it's really practical and you help them move or you financially bless somebody. The bottom line is, love is only really love when it's shown. There's some of you here today who probably need to make a phone call before you even start the car, or maybe a text. There's somebody here maybe you need to talk to and give them a hug. All those things only really count if you do it. So my challenge to you is to do it, to actually put this Jesus' wise words into action. So with your heads bowed for a second, I just want to give this opportunity because we never want to miss this. There may be somebody here, you don't know Jesus, or maybe you haven't followed Christ, or maybe as you were listening to the video testimonies today, you thought, you know what, they're right. I need to follow Jesus. I need to follow him. I need to give him my life like these people did. I want to tell you that it's simple. It's a simple thing. It's not cheap, though, because Jesus gave his entire life for you. Whatever you've done wrong that has separated you from God, Jesus paid for it once for all, but then you need to accept it as a gift. You need to take that gift and actually apply it to your life. So if you would like to do that today, we will pray with you. Anybody at all like that? You'd raise your hand. We could just pray with you today. Anybody at all? All right. Well, that's good that you're all going to heaven. That's awesome. But my last thing is this. I'm going to pray for us as we head out of here. And my prayer for you is that you would show love to every single person that you encounter, not just out this room, but your whole day long, all the way down in Arkansas. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that you are a loving God. God, I'm grateful that you gave us so many clear, easy to understand instructions in your word. And now I pray you will help us to put all of those into action, and that love would be real, and as we act on it, it would change lives. I pray, God, for every single person who has heard this word today, that they would be able to put it into action. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go love somebody.